Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Nancy Brickhouse. Dr. Brickhouse serves as Baylor University Provost, a post to which she was named in February following an extensive national search. As Baylor's Chief Academic Officer, Dr. Brickhouse oversees the university's 12 colleges and schools, research enterprise, university libraries, and centers and institutes. A Baylor graduate, nationally recognized leader in higher education, and tenured professor of education, Dr. Brickhouse previously served as provost of St. Louis University and before that enjoyed a long tenure in teaching and leadership roles at the University of Delaware. And we had Dr. Brickhouse on the program back in May, kind of a get to know you a little bit back then, and people might enjoy going back and listening to that, hearing more about your Baylor experience. But excited to talk to you about your first full semester, what's been going on here, a busy one here at Baylor. Thanks for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. It's great to be It's great to be here.
Well, let's dive into that first full semester for you. What have been the highlights? What have you enjoyed most? What have been those big priorities as you get this fall semester underway and really now in the meat of it?
Well, it's always fun to welcome a new class of students back to campus. I always find it just a little bit miraculous that every fall, you know, we have students who come back and they have courses and they have residence halls and they have activities and there's all this excitement. And I just love the cycle of the academic year. And of course, you know, the student body here is significantly larger than it was when I was a student, as well as the undergraduate student body is larger than any university I have been at thus far. So just that level of activity that comes with the start of a new year has been incredibly exciting. The fall faculty meeting was a lot of fun. Again, getting to see all of the faculty meeting together in the same room with President Livingstone and I talking about the direction of the university, particularly the aspirations for Research One and the work that we're doing in order to achieve that. So I really enjoyed that. Parents Weekend, homecoming. Oh, I love all those fun festivities that come with the fall.
Well, it's a good thing when I ask what's the highlight been that you have a lot of things
you
can pull from.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't
do a very good job of just naming one thing.
No, I like that. That's good. That's good. a lot of excitement with the new semester. And as we mentioned, you ascended to this role here at Baylor. You were announced in February, took over May 1, June 1.
Yes, May 1.
Took over May 1, and then obviously now your first full semester. What transitions have stood out to you, whether it's for you personally or just in this role, that have been most interesting or most meaningful to you?
Well, I think that in terms of professionally, I think the transition that's been most interesting has been just the way in which Baylor welcomes its new faculty and its students, the way that we introduce them to the Baylor family. I loved the convocation ceremony that we have that provides inculcation of new students into student life here at Baylor. I went to the Baylor Lion Camp as well. That also is just an amazing experience for students to understand the history of Baylor. So I love that, just going through that transition with our new students. And I've also enjoyed the transition to Waco. We bought a house with 10 acres, so we're going from living in the middle of a metropolitan city of St. Louis to moving out into the country. So I go home every night, and there's cows and horses and a cat named Rufus, and it's very beautiful and peaceful, and I've enjoyed that transition as well.
Well, and you're coming in at a very exciting time and then a transformative time in the life of the university. You mentioned the fall faculty meeting. Baylor officially announced the aspirations to pursue R1 status. And we've talked about that on the program here before with President Livingstone and others. But R1 recognition by the Carnegie Classification of Institutions of Higher Learning, they have a definition and benchmarks to hit, but when you talk about being R1 in terms of visiting with faculty and in your role, what does that mean to you? What are those things that you're really looking towards?
I think it means working at a different level. It's about increasing our impact and being able to speak to a larger audience. So, and to speak to a larger audience with a level of credibility that expects to be listened to. And I believe that Baylor, I believe that as Christians, we're called to make a difference in the world. We're God's hands in the world. And one of the ways that we can do that is through the knowledge that we produce through our research and scholarly efforts. And when we do that at the level of R1, we're simply speaking with a level of authority that demands a larger audience. And that's what's exciting to me. It's that opportunity to have a bigger impact and speak to a bigger audience with a level of authority that insists that people listen to you, but also can be put to practical use in ways that make a real difference in the world.
When you interact with faculty and when you think about this role, obviously with it, that classification, there are benchmarks you have to hit. Mm-hmm. But I know you're not just looking to be like, okay, there's that one, check, right. We're done there, right. There's that one, check. Right. How do you think beyond those? As you talk about that impact, that special, that Baylor distinctive, what are the things that you're looking to do to go beyond merely checking off boxes?
You know, it's, if you do the right things, you'll be checking the boxes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've talked to faculty about, especially in those areas where they struggle a little more to figure out exactly where they fit in, I like to say, if you just really strive to do excellent work, excellent scholarship, and just you will help us mm-hmm. reach those higher levels. You will have opportunities to work with doctoral students. And as you work with doctoral students, they're going to be able to take the work that we've done here and spread it further into higher education. That's impact. And that's the sort of work that we want to be doing. So and also focusing on big issues that we should be tackling. If we focus on the problems of the world that need to be addressed, that we feel like God has called us to address, those big challenging problems are also the kinds of problems for which we'll be more successful in being able to get the kind of external funding that we need that will also help in terms of those Carnegie metrics. So I think we want to focus on impact. We want to focus on excellence. And as we do that, we'll be ticking those boxes off as we generate more external funding and as we generate more doctoral students.
Visiting with Baylor Provost Dr. Nancy Brickhouse, and for you, what are some of those in helping reach those goals? Certainly, Illuminate puts forth a roadmap that kind of charts that course. But what are the priorities on your plate in this first semester after the fall faculty meeting in terms of kind of here's where you begin in this role?
So some of the things I've been working on are shaping some of these endowed chairs, working with the development office in terms of shaping the proposals that we put that President Livingstone and the development office, particularly Dave Roselli, put out in front of our donors in order to bring them alongside us in reaching our goals. And so shaping a lot of those initiatives, shaping the hiring that's going on in terms of faculty and staff in the colleges and schools this year. I'm working on a 5-year plan for where we want to be long-term in terms of our hiring. So that includes regular faculty as well as these endowed chairs.
Why are those endowed positions, chairs and endowed positions, so important to the long-term future of Baylor?
First of all, we don't have very many endowed chairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's not been a tradition at Baylor. It is actually quite common on R1 schools. And what it does, it just allows you to hire at a different level. It brings a kind of status and prestige that will allow you to hire senior faculty kind of at the top of their game. Who want to be at a Christian university that we can attract back to Baylor. Baylor's typically hired assistant level faculty, which is good. I mean, I started as an assistant professor at Delaware, and I stayed there for 27 years. So you need those kinds of positions. And they'll probably always be the lifeblood of the institution. But these endowed chairs also have the make it possible for you to attract additional talent to Baylor. They can become almost like a talent magnet if you fill those well. And so I think that they're really key to the strategy. And I'm so grateful for the donors who are excited about the Academic Challenge Initiative and are coming along with us and helping us achieve these goals.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting today with Baylor University Provost Dr. Nancy Brickhouse. And you mentioned a few moments ago a postdoc hiring program that was recently announced. I know the Office of the Vice Provost for Research is really going to begin doing some heavy lifting on that to get this program up. Yeah, I think a lot of people who have been around a college or an education, they've heard the term postdoc, but maybe it's a little bit ambiguous. Could you tell us a little more about what a postdoctoral researcher does, who they are, and why that's exciting for Baylor?
Postdocs provide resources for, well, there are several different types of postdocs, but a postdoc is basically somebody who has a PhD. And it's before they start their faculty appointment. It's kind of between graduate school and the beginning of a faculty appointment. It's oftentimes a 2 or 3 year appointment. Postdocs are not considered, you know, they're term employees. They don't stay long term. But they oftentimes work, particularly in the STEM areas, they work in the labs of faculty. Oftentimes doing a lot of the operational work in the lab, perhaps writing additional research grants, mentoring some of the undergraduate students. They focus only on research, which is why they can so quickly help to elevate the productivity in a research lab. There are also teaching postdocs, and so you have that a lot in the humanities. We'll have some of those as well. The postdoc program, though, that's coming out of the Office for the Vice President for Research is focused really on research postdocs.
You know, Dr. Brickhouse, certainly when we think about R1 and those aspirations, the STEM fields play an important role in that, but it goes beyond that. When you think of the humanities, education, religion, Truett Seminary, there's a role to play there, too. What does that look like here at Baylor? Because there's some definite historic strengths in those areas.
So one of the things that has been interesting to me is to learn more about what we're doing across the university in terms of scholarly work. Our humanities programs are particularly strong. If you look at the number of books that Baylor produces, the number of articles, and the number of citations in the humanities, we're already at the level of an R1 university. So in many respects, we're there. Obviously, we want to continue to be strong in those areas where we already are strong. The humanities will also contribute to R1 metrics. Their doctoral students count towards R1 metrics. I should also say a lot of our humanities faculty do get grants, and they very much count towards the Carnegie metrics. Get a lot of money from Templeton, for example, and that's very significant for Baylor, and Baylor's unusual in that regard. I should also say one of the things that I feel very strongly about is in a lot of these STEM areas that we're developing, whether it's in data science, whether it's in access to clean water, whether it's the development of new materials, there are ethical components to each of these research areas. And for Baylor, I think it's incredibly important that the ethics of that research also be as prominent as the science. So just to take an example, in the case of data science, there's huge ethical questions around the privacy, issues of privacy, issues of ownership of data. You know, information is never just information. It's also about power and the use of power. And don't we want Baylor in that conversation about the uses of data, and therefore also, you know, what it means to the humans that inhabit, you know, our communities. So I think that it's a strength that we will continue to not only support, but also to integrate with other areas across campus that will also strengthen them.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting today with Baylor University Provost Dr. Nancy Brickhouse. This fall, we welcome nearly 100 new faculty. You talked about enjoying getting to know them. Now, what stands out to you first more broadly about this group as you look at the class of 2019, if you will, here at Baylor? What are your impressions of them and what they bring to this university?
Well, you know, I spent a little bit of time with them at new faculty orientation, and I have to say it was really fun. It's a very diverse group of individuals, very talented. They're coming from all over the place. Some of them have Baylor backgrounds, but a lot of them don't. And so I just love their excitement. I love the diversity of the group. And, you know, I think that we have a lot of opportunities for them that we're going to really focus on to make sure that they are successful here. And that they stay here, that they find that this is a great place to do their work.
What are some of the ways your office does this, but I think a lot of places across Baylor work together to sort of help integrate new people, whether it's new students, whether mm-hmm. it's new faculty, whether it's new staff, into the Baylor family and into that broader Baylor story? What are some of the ways when you think of new faculty that most stand out to you?
There are a couple of things that really stand out to me. One is the work that the Academy for Teaching and Learning does in order to really help them with the teaching responsibilities that they have. They're an amazing resource and particularly great for new faculty. I also think about our Institute for Faith and Learning that also offers a lot of programming around the faith commitments of Baylor University. They provide opportunities to go on retreats and develop these new faculty not only spiritually, as they join the Baylor family and become a part of the work that we're doing here at Baylor.
Visiting with Provost Dr. Nancy Brickhouse. And Dr. Brickhouse, you mentioned getting to interact with students, and we talk a lot about that transformational undergraduate experience here at Baylor. Whether it's things that have stayed with you from your own experience or what you've seen more recently in these last few months, what stands out to you about the ways Baylor lives that out? And what are some of the ways that as we go in this direction with an increased focus on research and the ways that it can impact students in the classroom, what stands out to you about that, how that all plays together?
Well, I see them as very integrated. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. So last week I went to Italy to visit Barbarona, where we have a study abroad program and where we have a very significant excavation site. And Baylor students come there in June. Well, first of all, Barbarona is off the beaten path. It's about 45 minutes north of Rome. It's not on the main highway. So it's a small Italian town. And, you know, we have our students there in June when it's really hot, working and digging in the ground and finding pre-Roman artifacts and digging them, or I shouldn't say dig, carefully excavating
sure.
these artifacts and preserving them in ways that the town can exhibit in their own museum. And so I was actually there for this unveiling of these artifacts that Baylor students and faculty have excavated in a series of three summer digs in Barbarona. And we were welcomed into that town in a way that was very, very special. Baylor is very special to this town because of the giving way in which both our students and our faculty have interacted with the people in the town. And so I see that, you've got research right there, you've got service right there, and you've got a kind of Christian hospitality that I think is an amazing witness for Baylor, all in one. So they all can make sense together. Mm-hmm. And I find that inspiring.
You know, you talk about the students and you paint that picture of how engaged they are in what's going on. And I've heard President Livingstone and others talk about how more and more students are seeking out that engaged learning environment. What does it mean to you, and what impact can it have on teaching in the classroom when you've got professors who are doing cutting-edge cancer research or psychology in neuroscience? What does that bring to the classroom?
They're getting it from the source. Okay, so they're getting they're getting the subject matter not from someone who wrote a textbook who's writing about everything, but from the person who discovered it. And so they can talk about that process of discovery in addition to what it is that was found, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And I think that provides an insight that you can't get from more routine kinds of classroom instruction. It can also inspire you to work with that faculty member in their research labs. And I think that's another way in which students are going to really benefit from having very active research faculty, is the opportunity to collaborate with them on some of these research efforts. I think that teaching and research and scholarly work really complement each other in very significant ways.
Well, it's exciting to think about that as we go forward. I know we get a visit with some of these professors who are doing that here on the program. We appreciate sharing that. And we appreciate you taking the time amidst your busy schedule to come visit with us. We'd like to have you again a little bit later on as we continue to go forward to share with people all the exciting things that are going on with us. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Nancy Brickhouse, Baylor University Provost, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.